Have you ever misplaced your keys and looked directly at them without seeing? That momentary blindness offers a glimpse into a far more profound reality. Vision isn't just about eyes receiving light, it's about the brain making sense of what those eyes transmit. When this delicate system breaks down, whether through stroke, injury, or disease, something extraordinary happens. The brain doesn't simply surrender. Instead, it rewrites the rules entirely, finding pathways we never knew existed. Through intimate portraits of people whose visual worlds have been radically altered, we discover that perception is far more creative, flexible, and mysterious than we ever imagined. These stories challenge our conventional understanding of disability as simply the absence of ability. Instead, they reveal how altered perceptual states can open doors to entirely different ways of experiencing and engaging with the world, ways that might even enrich our collective understanding of human consciousness. Lillian Kahler was performing Mozart when the music dissolved into meaningless marks. Posterior cortical atrophy attacked her visual processing centers while leaving memory and intelligence intact. She could see letters perfectly but couldn't assemble them into words. She developed elaborate alternatives, memorizing kitchen object positions, identifying spices by smell, and recognizing her favorite diner by its distinctive tiles. Howard Engel woke to find his newspaper transformed into incomprehensible symbols, familiar letters suddenly appearing like Cyrillic one moment and Korean the next. Tests confirmed alexia synographia. He could write perfectly, but couldn't read what he'd written. For this novelist, being able to write without reading seemed like being told that the right leg had to be amputated, but that I could keep the shoe and sock. He developed an extraordinary workaround, tracing letters with his finger in the air and his tongue against his teeth. This sensory-motor alchemy allowed him to read significantly faster and return to writing fiction 3 months post-stroke. Prosopagnosia, or face blindness, affects at least 2% of the population. Imagine attending a party where everyone appears literally indistinguishable. Those affected recognize people by unusual noses, distinctive clothing, or characteristic gaits. One person recognized neighbors' dogs more easily than the neighbors themselves. The neurological basis involves the fusiform face area, which also activates when experts identify specialty objects, suggesting our brains treat faces as a category we're all experts in. As Lillian's vision deteriorated, her musical abilities intensified. Unable to read scores, she arranged a Haydn quartet for piano entirely by ear. At the keyboard, eyes closed, muscle memory guided her through Chopin mazurkas. When her condition advanced and she became lost in her own apartment, music remained her anchor. After fumbling briefly, she would find her bearings and play flawlessly. As the final chords resolved, she would say, "All is forgiven." Music became the language her damaged visual cortex could no longer speak. Patricia arrived at the hospital angry and trapped. A massive stroke had left her with severe aphasia, the devastating loss of language. She could understand almost nothing and produce only passionate gestures and occasional exclamations like, "Hell!" Yet within a year, something remarkable emerged. Though Pat couldn't process words, she developed an uncanny ability to read intentions and emotions through nonverbal cues. Her speech pathologist created a custom Bible of categorized words Pat could point to while using elaborate mime and gesture. Combined with her expressive face and body language, this system allowed surprisingly rich communication. 5 years post-stroke, Pat had resumed painting with her left hand and excelled at dominoes. Her nonverbal thinking remained intact. She had largely lost what philosopher Wittgenstein called saying, but her powers of showing had become virtuosic. Through music therapy, she discovered she could temporarily release her voice by singing familiar songs. Her daughter observed that the negativity has been wiped away. She actually feels blessed. Pat's transformation reveals that identity doesn't reside solely in our ability to speak. It lives in our capacity to connect and express through whatever means remain available. Stereoscopic vision, our ability to perceive depth through binocular disparity, seems fundamental, yet 5 to 10% of people lack it, often unknowingly. Sue Barry was one of them. Born cross-eyed in 1954, she underwent childhood surgeries but never developed binocular vision. She functioned normally with monocular vision, only discovering her stereo blindness during a college neurophysiology course. When vision problems emerged in her late 40s, her optometrist found her eyes were vertically misaligned. Using prism glasses and vision therapy, Sue achieved flat fusion. Days later, the impossible happened. She experienced stereopsis for the first time. Light fixtures popped out, steering wheels projected forward, and leaves displayed space between them rather than appearing flat. This transformation revealed an unbridgeable gulf between intellectual understanding and actual experience, like explaining color to someone born blind. Maintaining stereopsis required rigorous daily fusion exercises of at least 20 minutes. During a nighttime swim among bioluminescent dinoflagellates, she experienced them in true stereo depth, like being immersed in a giant random dot stereogram. For Sue, stereopsis remains revelatory, transforming snowfall from a flat sheet into a beautiful three-dimensional dance. Her story challenges the notion that critical periods for developing sensory abilities are absolute, revealing the adult brain possesses far more plasticity than once believed. A white-hot spot during a movie preceded the diagnosis, melanoma near the fovea of the right eye. "I've made a bargain with the tumor," the journal read. "You can have the eye if you leave the rest of me alone." After radiation, the scotoma became a window showing buildings, moving figures, and little scenes with remarkable 15-second persistence. By June 2007, after the third lasering, all central vision was gone. The mirror showed only shoulders and beard, no head. Streets filled with moving legs, no upper bodies. Most profound was losing stereoscopic vision. Space collapsed from depth into flatness. Christmas lights no longer forming globes, foliage just confusion. Grasping air at parties, missing canapes, pouring wine into laps. When bleeding left the eye completely blind, 40 degrees of visual field vanished. Everything right of the nose ceased to exist, even in imagination. 10 weeks later, little accommodation had occurred. The world remained hazardous. People on phones, tiny dogs on invisible leashes. Disappear into thin air became literal, not metaphor. This journey revealed the profound difference between understanding a condition intellectually and living it viscerally. Blindness reveals how differently our brains can construct experience. John Hall, losing sight at 48, entered deep blindness, abandoning visual concepts to develop other senses. Zoltan Torre, blinded at 21, took the opposite path, deliberately cultivating his inner eye to construct a virtual visual world as intense as the one he'd lost. Sabriya Tenberken created Tibetan Braille and established schools while maintaining her love of painting and colors, even when her mental images diverged from reality. When sight is lost, the visual cortex gets repurposed, enhancing mental imagery in people like Torre or amplifying other senses in people like Hull. Blind individuals develop remarkable adaptations like facial vision and echolocation. Language becomes crucial. Arlene Gordon described seeing Venice through descriptions and memories, language enabling what should be impossible. Some find creative strength after blindness. Milton produced his greatest poetry, while Borges imagined Homer gaining deeper epic power through sightlessness. Vision isn't passive recording, but active creation, intertwined with our entire cognitive apparatus. Vision is constructive, not merely receptive. When conventional pathways fail, the brain reorganizes dramatically. Howard reading with his tongue, Pat communicating through gesture, Lillian navigating by color and position, Sue gaining stereopsis in middle age, all demonstrate remarkable plasticity. These adaptations often transcend compensation. Hull described blindness as a dark paradoxical gift, bringing new intimacy with nature. Torrey's visualization abilities exceeded many sighted individuals. Sue experienced depth that those born with normal stereopsis take for granted. Vision isn't fixed, but dynamic and individualized, one that can be lost, transformed, or reinvented through the brain's plasticity. When you open your eyes and the world appears in depth, color, and clarity, remember, you're not just seeing, you're creating. And if that creation were to change, you possess extraordinary capacity to create anew. Altered perceptual states aren't simply deficits, but doorways to different modes of experiencing reality, expanding our understanding of what it means to be human.